Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
All right, Rob, let's get into it. Let's start here because we know where we're going to really go. But were you surprised? I think when we left the air, it was 1-0, right?
Yes.
Tampa Bay was up 1-0. Blake Snell was still pitching, and he was throwing fire. That's for sure. And shortly thereafter, they took him out. Fifth inning, one out. And he gave up a single to the ninth batter.
Was it fifth or sixth inning, Chris? I think it was the fifth.
Sixth.
Sixth inning.
He went five and a third.
Right, right. It's in, so he's it pitching in the sixth.
Did I say
right,
fifth? Right. Yes, sixth said, inning. Yeah.
Sixth inning.
And they wasted no time. Manager Kevin Cash gives up. All it is a single. It's a one-out single. And Cash goes and gets Snell, who robbed. He was throwing, I don't want to overstate it, but it was a classic performance. Nine strikeouts. How many hits had he given up? Like three hits, I think. On 73 pitches. So you would think he had a lot in the tank. I know this is a guy that never goes six innings. That's a fact. That's not hyperbole. He's got the major league streak record for 21 straight starts, all of his starts this season, without completing six innings. His ERA does skyrocket after five innings. So I'm sure that's what Cash was looking at. But here's some sound on – well, most people know. They took Snell out. They go to their relievers. Nick Anderson's the first one.
And he gives it up.
Yeah, the Dodgers just pounce on him right away, gives up a double, has a wild pitch, and next thing you know, they're down 2-1, and they lose 3-1. So we're going to get into what we think of it, but here's Cash explaining the move.
Kevin, I know you guys try to be consistent, but can you explain what went into the decision to take out Blake? What was your motive there?
No, I mean, the only motive was that the lineup the Dodgers feature is as potent as any team in the league. Personally, I felt Blake had done his job and then some. Mookie coming around for the third time through. I value that. I totally respect and understand the questions that come with it. Didn't want Mookie or Seager seeing Blake a third time.
Do you regret that decision?
Well, yeah, I guess I regret it because it didn't work out. I feel like the thought process was right. I mean, every decision that's made, that end result has a pretty, weighing factor in how you feel about it. If we had to do it over again, I would have the utmost confidence in Nick Anderson to get through that inning.
You want to go first?
Yeah, let me just say this, Chris. I think he made the wrong decision, and this is where analytics hurts baseball all the time. Because there's a gut and there's a feel and there's like our season is on the line. Who do we want in the game, Chris? Do we want our ace or do we want a guy who had given up runs? And I guess Anderson at one point, Chris, was unhittable during the regular season, okay? But in the playoffs, season, right. He had given up runs in each of his last six appearances. Let's make it seven when he came in.
Right.
So despite the numbers, he hadn't been pitching that great. Okay, so if you're going to tell me that you're going by the numbers, then the numbers would have said that Anderson has not, N-O-T, been pitching well. And I get it. When you roll up the stat sheet and your computer spews out that Blake Snell's ERA the third time around, Chris, is a 4.97. And
third time and, seeing the lineup, yep.
Yeah, the third time around.
Third time, yep.
I get it. Okay, he's normally 2.26 the first time, so that's a big jump the third time that you come up. And I know why he went out and got him. because he gave up a hit to the ninth place hitter. Oh, my God, he's losing it because here comes the ninth place hitter. And in his history, you just mentioned it, he has the longest streak of not going more than six innings, right? 21. Right.
Not completing six innings.
Right. So, 21, the longest streak in the major leagues. Okay? So all those overriding factors, I get, Chris, why the move was made, but I don't like it. And I think everybody who was watching, and you know this, Chris, they first guessed it. It wasn't after they gave up the hit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or gave up the two runs. It was like, no, don't take Snell out. He's your ace. He's dealing. And even if he would have given up, okay, he gives up the hit. And then if Mookie hit a home run the third time around, people would go, oh, see, Kevin Cash, the numbers say. But in this case, I'm sorry. My gut would have told me to leave my ace in.
Rob, I agree with you. And you and I have been beating this drum, not just with baseball, but with basketball as well.
Yes.
This is analytics gone wild. That's all this is. And I want to say something to baseball. We talked about it, Rob, in 2018. When the Dodgers were taking out three of their top home run hitters
in Boston
against lefties. And it didn't make any sense to us. You couldn't imagine teams in the 80s and 90s doing that. All right? And they did it, and they lost. Boston, on the other hand, certainly big on the analytics, but also played small ball, had a good mix. I'm not saying, I'll never say analytics doesn't have a part in sports.
But Chris, even when you talk about the Red Sox, they had the second highest payroll. So when people bring up the Red Sox as the analytics, they had star players.
Right. And my thing is, but they also went somewhat by feel too. It wasn't completely analytics like Tampa Bay does. I think the Yankees do. And so they were a mix. And then this year, the Dodgers learned from their past mistakes. They didn't take out their lefties against left-handed pitching. They just, you know, changed the lineup a little bit, alternated batters and stuff, and they win. And I'm not saying it's that black and white, but still, analytics is not the end all. Analytics not only does it not take into consideration, it ignores things like guts, moxie, who can handle pressure and who can't, who rises to the occasion and who wets the bed. Analytics takes into account none of that. Blake, who's to say Blake Snell wasn't throwing the game of his life? Who's to say those numbers would have held up? He's obviously one of the better pitchers in the league. Who's to say he couldn't have had one of those magical days? How many magical moments will we not have, Rob, historically, if we always went by the numbers? Oh, he's expected to do this. And you brought up a good point. Nick Anderson, if we're going by the numbers,
right?
His last 10 innings in the playoffs, Rob, he had given up 14 hits, 4 walks, and 8 earned runs.
So how was he getting in the game?
Right.
If you're going by numbers,
who's absolutely dealing. For Nick Anderson, who was struggling mightily on the postseason?
Exactly. If you had me, Chris, if you had a guy who had not given up a run in the postseason, you know what I mean, who had been lights out, maybe I can buy it. But you put in a struggling guy, who had been struggling in the postseason. It doesn't make sense.
Absolutely. Struggling. And here's the other thing, Rob, and I got a few other things, but notice in that quote from Cash, I didn't want Mookie to see him and Seager to see him a third time. Where's the confidence? Where's the belief in your play? That's what analytics does. It takes away your confidence in your guys. If you look into Snell's eyes, you know what's in his heart. You got no confidence at all? I get it. Mookie's great. Seager's great.
Right.
But do you want to hear a coach say that? What if we heard Rob G, you know, say something like, you know, Chris and Rob are great, but if they had to do a fourth hour, it would be a mess. They're just not capable.
Who are you talking to, Jason Smith? Where'd you get that from? Oh, I'm sorry.
That's what he's saying about Snell. And I don't like it. And I'm going to say this finally, Rob. I'm obviously, I picked the Dodgers to win it. So, yeah, we always want our picks to be right. So, I'm happy about that. Happy for Kershaw, Mookie, Dave Roberts, you know, all those guys. But I am also glad that Tampa Bay did not win and that this move backfired, because had it worked, this is a little overstatement, but bear with me. We may have never seen a guy go five innings again.
Yep.
I mean, because they're ahead of this, right? This bullpen pitching and, you know, all that stuff, openers and all that. I mean, it may be going that way anyway. Hopefully this would deter it. You know what I'm saying?
Two innings for the starter.
And then one inning for each guy the rest of the way.
It blew up in the Yankees' face in the playoffs, Chris, by trying to do that same monkey business, right? You remember that?
Right.
Game two, they did it against Tampa, and it blew up in their face. And I think that people are going to look at this. And Chris, where's the proof that the analytics mean you're going to win? The Oakland A's are the poster boys of analytics. They've never won anything. Billy Beane just called it quits in Oakland without winning anything. Tampa Bay's been to the World Series twice now. Nothing to show for it. Where's the evidence? I don't see the evidence. When Washington won last year,
they had good players. Dependent. Yep.
Right?
Yep. I agree. You know, and there's a school of thought out there that has some evidence behind it that analytics is fine for the 162, the regular season.
Yep.
But it doesn't pay off in the playoffs. And that's my point. Because in the playoffs, Rob, we know it's about, you know, who can rise to the occasion and who lets the pressure get to them.
That's why there's some people call Mr. October, right?
Right,
you don't get that name. They didn't call him Mr. April or May or June. Mr. October.
Absolutely. And there have been guys historically who maybe aren't, you know, all Hall of Fame players. But in the playoffs, they've been great. So you just can't – I just get sick of it. It's just ridiculous. And I think, look, you got to put some blame on Tampa Bay's offense, obviously. I'm not with those that say had Snell not come out,
they win
the game. I don't know. They'll score one run, right?
You can't score one run. Remember, the Dodgers used their bullpen. It was a bullpen game.
Yep.
And you got one run in the first inning on a solo home run and nothing off the bullpen when six guys pitched? That's unacceptable. I'm with you.
Yep,
they can't be off the hook. You needed more than one run last night to win that game.
Absolutely.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's a World Series champion himself and FS1 MLB analyst, Nick Swisher. Nick, welcome to the show.
What's up, Nick?
Oh, my God. What is good, fellas? How you guys doing?
We are great, man. I love your energy always, and it's great to talk with you after what happened last night. Let's get right into it. Did they make the wrong move, Kevin Cash, by taking out Blake Snell? Rob and I think they did. We think his analytics gone wild, and we're kind of sick of the analytics dominating everything. Where are you at on this whole thing?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I think analytics are used to help your team, right? It gives you, like, the advantage, right? It gives you the numbers. It gives you a percentage of an advantage. Sometimes you just have to open up your eyes and just see what's going on. If you would have had an NBA player come off the bench in the first quarter and hit five threes, I can promise you you're going to put him back in the second. And if he hits another five threes, you're going to put him in the third.
Right.
And if he continues to keep doing well, you're going to have him in the entire game. You're not going to sit him. Sometimes you have to go with a hot hand, and I have not seen anybody this year decimate the Los Angeles Dodgers lineup the way Blake Snell did through the first two times through the batting order.
And Nick, here's the other thing. If you're basing everything in your decisions on numbers, and we know about Snell the third time around, his ERA skyrockets and all that, but Nick Anderson's numbers have been bad. Like, if you're telling me it's based off of numbers, Chris, what was the numbers you gave?
His last 10 innings, he had given up 14 hits, eight runs.
It's like that's the guy you brought in,
right?
Now, me, bro. If you bring in Mariano Rivera, I get it, no big deal.
Right,
he's gonna come in and do his thing. But you brought in Nick Anderson, and this is not a knock on Nick Anderson, but the way that Snell was going, listen, guys, he was pitching a legendary World Series game. Legendary. Nobody punched out that many guys through the first four innings. Yep. And to see exactly the groove that he was in, because, guys, I've been in the zone just like you guys have. You know that amazing feeling that a few times in your life you really feel like you're locked and loaded. And when you looked at Blake Snell on the mound, he had that look. And so I think Cash, I mean, for me, I knew that maybe wasn't his call, or maybe it wasn't what he wanted to do. When he took one step onto that field and called for the pitcher, he didn't even go out to the mound and look his pitcher in the eye and give him a chance to argue about staying in. He called for the guy right out of the dugout. And so I think for me, that was something that maybe was pre-discussed before the game, saying, hey, listen, this guy goes through the lineup twice, and that's it. And that's exactly what happened.
Hey, wow. I want to jump in on this. The other big story, and this was mostly after. First of all, bravo to baseball to be able to get through, you know, without any COVID situations in the playoffs.
And yeah, once they exactly.
Once they got it straight, I mean, after the beginning of the start of the season, they really got it under control. Players were really good at following the protocol, and it worked. But then Justin Turner, his test comes back. He comes out of the game. And Nick, I'm going to say, Chris and I are going to talk about this later in the show too, but I thought he was selfish to celebrate with teammates knowing he tested positive with no mask. Where are you on that, the optics?
Yeah, I didn't even know what happened. We were all wondering to ourselves, what happened to Justin Turner, right? Like, was it something where, you know, maybe he, like, turned his ankle going down the steps or something? We had no idea. But here's the thing that makes absolutely no sense to me. You're going to try and tell me that you're going to let that man play eight innings with his team all day long and not know that he's not positive or not? That makes absolutely no sense to me. I have no idea how it worked. I need to do a little more research and read up on it. But either way, at that point, he had already exposed the entire dugout.
Right.
If he was positive, he already exposed the whole dugout. Right? So I think for me, it's like, believe me, I think Justin Turner is an awesome guy, and I love the fact that he's called a champion now. I totally do. I don't really have an opinion on the celebrating with the team. I really don't. That's not my call. But I think Major League Baseball could have done a better job of letting him know whether it's the positive test or it came back inconclusive. I'm not quite sure. Like I said, I'd have to do a little more reading. Yeah. But I think Major League Baseball might have dropped the ball on that one a little bit.
Nick, we know what the narrative on Kershaw was heading into these playoffs. First of all, what were your thoughts on that narrative going into this postseason? Did you think it was fair, that it was accurate and all that? And then now, what does this do for Kershaw? Like, what's his legacy now that he's, you know, 2-0 in the World Series and got a ring?
I'll answer your second question first. First ballot Hall of Famer, bro.
Right? Well, no doubt.
With the World Series, we all say he's a Hall of Famer, right? We know that. I think it's like, for some reason, he had to win that World Series for us to, like, pass like he's one of the greatest left-handed pitchers ever, as if his regular season numbers don't prove that. Right. Yes, I think that for myself, I don't know about you guys, but I started to get a little tight when I saw him warming up in the bullpen down there in that game six. I was like, no, Clayton, no. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Just calm down, relax, keep that sweatshirt on, baby. I hope you got your turfs on, because I don't need you tonight, you know? So I think for me, I love Clayton Kershaw. I think he's a great human being. I think he's great for the sport. And I think for myself, to finally for him to break through and to become a champion and to celebrate that with his kids on the field, now me being a dad, man, it's like that is probably one of the coolest things that you will ever be able to do with your family, is to be able to celebrate on the field that you just won the World Series at. So I think for Clayton, I'm so happy for him. I'm so proud of him, as well I am for Dave Roberts. Listen, this might not have been the best managed World Series he's ever had, but it doesn't matter, baby, because he won, right? He's a champion again, you know what I mean? So I think for him to burst through as a manager, third time's a charm, for everything that lineup had gone through. I mean, listen, man, we're talking about a team that was down 3-1 against the Atlanta Braves in the NLCS, and they are World Series champions. Los Angeles Dodgers, baby, party it up, man, no doubt.
What about Mookie Betts and his you know, we already know he won a championship with the Red Sox, but was he the missing piece? I mean, he stole bases, he grabbed, stole some home runs over the fences. I mean, he really had a footprint on this championship team, and then he hit the insurance home run, obviously, in game six, which you need with the score 2-1. Yep. Nick, tell me about Mookie.
Yeah, you know what? So I was doing the watch party for us this year, bro, and it was so badass. We had so many awesome people call in, and one of the guys that called in was Reggie Jackson. And Reggie Jackson was telling a story about coming over to the Yankees, right, I think in 1977, him being the guy, the kind of the straw that stirs the drink, right? The guy that really was brought in to get them over the hump. And that's exactly what Mookie Betts said. Both guys got their teams over the humps, became champions. And I think for Mookie, not only that, I think just watching a guy that just signed a monster contract, long-term contract, the smile on his face, and the fact that he is a Los Angeles Dodger, he is so happy. And from an ex-player to see a current player that happy, I mean, wow. Athletically, nothing on the baseball field that man can't do. He's a threat from the on the base pass. He's a threat at the plate. You know, I mean, he's obviously a threat on the defensive end. We saw him with two of the nastiest catches in World Series history. But I think overall the leadership that that man possesses and the way people follow him, man, Los Angeles Dodgers, you guys are lucky to have a leader just like Mookie Betts. I almost kind of, in a sense, and I know this, I mean, we're talking about, you know, LeBron James, but maybe in a sense, you know, Mookie Betts could be the LeBron James of baseball, right? Maybe he could be that guy that really kind of comes in, you know, the city really wraps their arms around you. And by the way, first year in LeBron, he gets the championship, and Mookie Betts, his first year with the Dodgers, gets the championship as well, man. Cinderella stories.
Quickly, Nick, and we got less than a minute left, Randy Arozarena, I mean, obviously he was awesome, came out of nowhere this postseason. Do you think he follows up on this and becomes, you know, one of the great players in the game, or have you not seen enough to say that, and it's possible this was just kind of a flash in the pan?
Well, he better, because we filled him up big enough.
We're expecting it, right?
We are expecting it for sure. But I think that's what the game's all about, man. Listen, Randy Arozarena has never played a full season of baseball. I am so excited now because of the legend that he has built through this postseason. I mean, with the Cristiano Ronaldo spin, right, the whole thing, the way the Rays were feeding off of him, obviously a leader in that locker room at such a young age, and to be able to have success on that sort of platform, I could not be more happy for him, man. He was electric. He was fun to watch. He was smiling. He is exactly why you should play the game of baseball. So I think for me, I wish him nothing but the best of luck. But it will be hard to live up to the legend of Randy Arozarena postseason time, you know?
That's our man, Nick Swisher. Great
awesome,
stuff,
man.
We appreciate it.
Chris, Rob, I love you guys, man. Thanks for having me on, fellas. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Justin Turner getting criticized because here's the setup. He played the first 6-7 innings, and in the second inning, MLB found out that his test from Monday, his COVID test from Monday, was inconclusive. All right, not negative, not positive, but inconclusive. And then his test from Tuesday comes back in like the 6th, 7th inning, and they find out it's positive, and he disappears, right? He's in the clubhouse. He's getting ready.
Everybody's guessing what's going on, right?
Right. Because I think it was a Rio, somebody they put in for him, and you're wondering what was that about? And then, you know, it's announced after the game. He has COVID. So they took him out, and he's not in the celebration, you know, and then he comes out onto the field with his wife and celebrates with his teammates. So that is the situation. Go ahead.
I think it's totally selfish, Chris. And then the excuse is, well, he was already positive and he was playing with teammates. No. He didn't know, and nobody knew. Once you know that there's a chance you could spread it, and Chris, he wasn't just out there celebrating. He had no mask on, knowing he's a carrier of it. I understand Justin Turner's a longtime Dodger, and he dreamt about this moment since he was a kid. I get it. But we know it's not a good thing for people to get COVID. If it was okay and everybody could just get COVID and we go on about our lives, we wouldn't be on this mask kick. Chris would be in Los Angeles. We would be in the studio with Rob G and Alex. If it didn't matter. It mattered because the protocol in baseball had done a great job, Chris, after a bumpy start. And nobody got it because the players followed the protocol and the tests were done. They did a fantastic job. This wasn't an NBA bubble. People were going home. People were traveling all over the country. Baseball was as is, Chris, and nobody got it. So for him to get it and then to go out and hug and kiss and schmooze and rub people with COVID and no mask, that's selfish. On my podcast, real quick, I had Eric Davis on, the former Cincinnati Red, who won a World Series, Chris, in 1990. If you remember he got injured in the World Series. He had a ripped kidney.
Right.
He was in the hospital. He couldn't celebrate when the Reds beat the A's in the World Series with his teammates, despite that was the only World Series he ever won. Would he have loved to have gone out there? And I know it's different. He was injured, so he couldn't. But sometimes you have to look out for other people. And Justin Turner is a longtime Dodger. He's a good guy. He was misguided. The optics looked terrible, and baseball had the right to be mad and come down on him.
I got no problem with it. I totally disagree with you. I understand it wasn't the greatest. It wasn't the right thing to do. But I understand, man. Having won a World Series in 32 years, you've been, like you said, a longtime Dodger. He's excited. He's hyped. In those situations, you don't always make the rational decision. You're like, yo, I want to celebrate. I want to get out there. Mookie Betts said today, man, I ain't worried about that. COVID. Now, I'll admit, if somebody out there that got close to Justin gets it and really has a problem, then I'll come up here and say I was wrong. But I don't think that's going to happen. And my thing is, I would blame baseball. Baseball got a lot of nerve. They came out today with a statement ripping Justin Turner, criticizing him. They have a lot of nerve because, number one, he was playing with an inconclusive test. Why is he playing? If you really want to be like the NBA and lock it down, if it's inconclusive, you're not playing. I'm sorry.
But, Chris, I disagree because
he shouldn't have
been playing. Inconclusive doesn't mean that he was,
yeah,
he
but
was
it,
positive.
It means you might have it.
Okay, but also, I get it with the World Series to give the guy a chance with inconclusive. Yep. And
nope.
as soon as you know it, well, what if the second test came back and it was negative?
Well,
and
it is what it is. Well, why? Here's the thing, too, though.
No,
Rob,
once you know you have it, you shouldn't go out.
Why is he getting the results from Monday's test in the freaking second inning?
I have no idea why there was a delay.
Why don't you have those before the game? And why don't you have the Tuesday test before the game?
Chris,
so baseball don't have the – to me, they're not in a position – to come down on Justin Turner like they do everything right.
Chris,
that's stupid to have the dude get the test results during the World Series.
Wait a minute.
Here's the other thing. Justin Turner had been around those teammates in the dugout, slapping five, spitting, going everywhere, spittle going everywhere, all that for the whole seven innings he was there. So proper protocol is that all of those guys who were exposed to Justin Turner, none of them should have been on the field able to celebrate. That's the proper protocol. Because
once you've
been exposed, you all have to quarantine. Baseball needs to keep his mouth shut. They can find Justin Turner. They can find the Dodgers if they want. But to me, they don't have the right to come out here and act like they're, you know, the innocent of all blame.
Just because somebody has it and you come in contact, we've seen it, it's not automatic that you're going to get it. But the point is, once you know you have it, Chris, justify him not having a mask out there. Justify that.
Like, I'm not justifying
that. You can't justify
that. But I'm just saying, I get it, man. This dude, this is what you play your whole life for in baseball. He wants to go celebrate with his teammates. They've had so many failures together. I'm not saying what he did necessarily was right. But I can understand it. I got no problem with it. I'm not going to crush him. I get it. I think baseball should fine him because you do need to send a message. And if you need to fine the Dodgers, that's fine too. But it shouldn't be anything crazy. And baseball shouldn't get on this high moral horse like they've been doing everything right.